Well, God's grace be with you. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year's Eve. All getting ready for a good celebration this evening? Well, we're at a crossroads right now between 2 years. We're just finishing up 2017. We're looking forward to 2018. I thought this would be a good day for us to take a look at how a Christian faces the future. What kind of a year do you think 2018 is going to be for you? Is it going to be great? Is it going to be not so great? Is it going to be filled with failures or triumphs? Is it going to be something where things just go marvelously for you? Or might there be an accident or a calamity or a hardship? Is there going to be life or is there going to be death? You know, how do we face the future as Christians when it's just this blank screen out there? We don't know just what's coming. How can we face them? What does God want to be the perspective of his people as we go forward in our journey and look forward at the future, both today and looking at 2018 and for our whole lives, whenever you face the future? How does God want you to face it? Let's take a look and see what God teaches us about that today in his holy word, the scriptures. What's God tell us about any confidence that we can have toward that which is to come? So, what does God teach us? Well, first of all, nobody knows what the future holds, apart from a special revelation from God where he parts the clouds and a voice comes down and tells you exactly what's going to happen. We can't know what the future actually is going to hold for us. And God wants us to understand that to start out. Some people think they know the future. But look what we read here in James. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we'll go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and get gain, whereas you do not know about tomorrow. What's your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. So, do you think a lot of people in the world just think that they already know what's going to happen to them, and they're confident because they know the future? It's going to be exactly like this time. Well, that is a perspective that goes way back to ancient times. Look at how God spoke to the pastors in days of old. It's in Isaiah chapter 56, I'm turning to. These people were very confident about what was to come. God said, wrongly so, though. The pastors. He says, the shepherds have no understanding. They have all turned to their own way, each to his own gain, one and all. Come, they say, let us get wine. Let us fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow will be like this day, great beyond measure. You meet people like this who think, I know what's coming tomorrow, and I'm living in my evil, and tomorrow is going to be just as great as today. We're going to have a great party time about it. God says, bad perspective. Not a good way to look at the future, because you don't know what a future day might hold. Like he says in Proverbs 27, verse 1, don't boast about tomorrow, for you don't know what a day may bring forth. You remember a story that Jesus told about a guy who thought he knew the future, but he really didn't? Jesus said, a land of a rich man brought forth plentifully, so much so that he had nowhere to store all his grain and his goods. So he said, what shall I do? I know, I'll pull down my barns, I'll build bigger ones, and there I'll store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. I got years of great coming to me, he says. But God said to him, you're a fool, because this very night your soul is required of you. In other words, the year that he thought was going to be great was up. Actually, death was at his door, and he didn't even know it. So, the first thing God wants us to understand about the future is, don't be boastful, especially in evil, about what's going to come, because you don't know what the year holds, right? Does anybody know here what the next year is going to be in all detail? Absolutely not, right? We can't know these things. But then we ask, how can we have confidence then, looking forward at 2018, or any future that we have? What do you think? We don't know what the future holds, amen? But we do know him who holds the future. And that's God and Jesus Christ, his son. And these two friends we can trust. God says you can be confident because I hold the future. Who created time in the first place? Do you know how we even get a watch or time? You go back way here to Genesis. God started and he created time at the very beginning of the world. It says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then, remember, he made the light and separated it from the darkness. And there was evening and there was morning, one day. Before there was ever a human being on earth, there was time. And then God, on the fourth day, put lights in the firmament of the heavens. You know, the sun, the moon, and the stars. And he says, let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. How do we get a month? Where do we get that from? The moon, right? God put the lesser light to rule the night. And then the day is ruled by the sun. You get days and seasons and years. So you're actually living under a huge clock, going all around right over you. So God is the creator of time. That's a great confidence for us as Christians, right? Since he's our Father, he set it up. Secondly, God not only created time, but he also knows time and all of its details. Does God know the future? Can God predict and say, I know exactly what's going to happen to you, or what's going to happen to you, or what's going to happen to you in this next year? Is anything going to take God by surprise, or he's going to be like, whoa, I didn't see that coming? You know, the God who's taking care of you knows absolutely everything that's going to happen to you in the next year. That gives you great confidence. For, think about this, in Isaiah chapter 45, God through Isaiah says this, thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I've grasped, to subdue nations before him and undergird the loins of kings, to open doors before him that the gates may not be closed. I'll go before you, Cyrus, and level the mountains, etc. Now, when was Isaiah writing? What year, do you know? Around 800-ish BC? When did Cyrus come? 300 years later? God was calling this guy by name 300 years before the guy was even born. You think God knows the future? Did God know Paul's days before he was born? Paul says he set me apart. Did God know Jeremiah's days before he was born? He says God set me apart. He knew what I was going to do. He knows all these things. And God chastises Israel for believing in idols. In Isaiah 41, he says, bring forth your idols. Let them tell us what's to happen. Tell us the former things what they are, that we may consider them, that we may know their outcome, or declare to us the things that are to come. Tell us what's to come hereafter, that we may know that you are gods. Do good or do harm, that we may be dismayed and terrified. Behold, you're nothing, and your work is nothing. An abomination is he who chooses you. So idols can't know anything about the future. Humans can't, apart from God's direct revelation, know the details and any guarantee. But guess who knows your future? God. It's not going to surprise them what happens to you this year. Even if you have a calamity, God forbid, but maybe that will happen. Maybe there is an accident in your future. But you know, it's not going to take God by surprise. He's got that well in hand. He's going to take care of you in the midst of it. You know, some people think that their next year is going to be great. It might be horrible. But some people think it might be horrible, and it's going to be awesome beyond all belief. You think maybe that might be your case? Well, God knows that which is to come. He says in Isaiah 46, I am God, and there's no other. I am God, and there's none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose. Do you believe that God's going to accomplish his purpose in your life this year? What do you think? In details? Absolutely. You know, there might be things about the new year that scare you, or are strange, or they're unpredictable, or it's, you know, there's a great changeable to life, and it's you don't know what's coming. But I want you to know something, that even if it's in the dark to you, 2018, for God looking at 2018, it is in broad, bright daylight to him. He sees it all, and it's not taken him by surprise. So that's a great confidence for us. And then also, God not only created time, He not only knows time and its details, He also determines things. My counsel, my purpose, God says, will stand. And it's going to stand for you. Isn't that comforting? That God is going to do this for you? Think about how God controls and brings things to pass in the world. In Job, we read this about nature. Job 37, verse 10. By the breath of God, ice is given, and the broad waters are frozen fast. He loads the thick cloud with moisture. The clouds scatter His lightning. They turn round and round by His guidance to accomplish all that He commands them. And on all the face of the habitable world. Isn't that beautiful? Are you afraid of a hurricane? Are you afraid of what? A tornado? God commands these things, and they are in His hands. Don't be afraid. Secondly, God commands nations. We read over here in Acts, Paul says, that God made from one, that's from Adam, every nation of men to live on the face of all the earth, having determined a lot of periods, and the boundaries of their habitation. Does God set up the borders of the United States of America? Does God watch over kings? Does God accomplish His purpose in the world? He does. So there's a great comfort. And then how about your own life? How about in your life, your details of you? Proverbs 16, verse 9 says, a man's mind plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. You guys have some plans for this next year? You got some predictions, some things you want to happen? That's great, and God works through those things, but it's the purpose of the Lord that's going to be established. We read here that a man's steps are ordered by the Lord. How then can a man understand his way? That's Proverbs 20. Proverbs 21 says, no wisdom, no understanding, no counsel can avail against the Lord. The horse is made ready for the day of battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord. It's God who gives you the victory. And then Isaiah 46, I am God and there is no other, none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient times, things not yet done. My counsel shall stand, and I'll accomplish all my purpose. You guys like watching movies? How do you get a hero in a movie be so bold sometimes against the bad guy, right? Don't you admire that when the good guy stands up against the bad guy and he's like, man, I wish I could be that courageous. Well, you can be so. Because how can the actor be so courageous? Because he knows the script is written. He knows there's a director behind the scenes making sure he's going to win in the end. And all of human history really is a great adventure story with the chief hero of the story is Jesus Christ. Light triumphs over darkness. Jesus over all the power of the enemy. And you have delightful cameo roles. Little supportive actors along the way. You have parts to play, but there is a director behind the scenes, amen? When you watch a movie, do you ever see the director? Do you see the producer? Do you believe that there's a producer behind the movie? You know that there is, but you don't see him in the movie. Just like in life, it's all coming to pass. He's directing things to the great purpose of the glory of Jesus Christ, but you don't see him, you see life, you see the movie. But the great opportunity here is, you're in the movie. You got great roles. This is an adventure story, and you have a great part to play. So whether it's hell or high water, good or bad, calamities or triumphs, God is going to lead you this year in a great adventure and bring it all to pass in fantastic ways to Jesus' glory and then also to your great benefit. You know, I think about how God's led my life. How did I get to be standing here in this pulpit? I could have been 1,000 other places. You know, I was sailing, as you know, schooners in the old days up there in Maine. How did I ever go to seminary? Did you ever hear that story? I actually needed to go to counseling at one point. I chose to go to a counselor for several times. And the counselor, I said, he's a Christian counselor. I chose a Christian counselor. So I said, you know, where do you go to seminary? He says, Gordon Conwell Seminary in Massachusetts. That was the first time I ever heard of it. And I was captaining in the summer. I was like, what should I do in the winter? Why don't I go to seminary? Why don't I look at the one that my counselor went to? And that's how I first went to seminary. If I'd never gone to counseling, I wouldn't have heard of it. I wouldn't have gone to that place. And then I went there, and then eventually I decided, well, I'm going to be a captain, I'm not going to be a pastor, but God said, well, I'm going to end your job here in Maine. And then I went to to seminary down in Gettysburg. And then I was in the ELCA. And was that a mistake? Well, it was a learning experience, believe me. It was a tough year to live there, for sure. But then God brought me out of that denomination over into our denomination. And I went to St. Louis Seminary. You know, I was going to give it up, possibly, at that point, go back to sailing. You know how I got to be an LCMS pastor? Well, the dean of the seminary in St. Louis called and said, we heard about what you went through over there at the ELCA. We're proud of you standing up for the truth. We'd love to have a young man like you at our seminary. Why don't you come on over and consider joining, you know, going to our school? And so that's how I got in here. If any of these events had changed, I wouldn't be here. And how did I get to be in this pulpit? You know, it took me 7 years, guys, to get through seminary, because I went to 3 different ones. If I'd gone any faster, though, like I wanted to go, this church only became available 2 weeks before call day. And I wouldn't have gotten here. I would have been somewhere else. So all these events, chains, little links from little details, to me seem like a big spread of chance. But to God, He's working through all of these things to get me where He wanted me to be. You know that in the Bible it says that God wrote your name in the book of life before the foundation of the world? In the Lamb's book? Now, how did God know that you're going to be born? What do you think? He had to have known and foreseen all of the man and woman relationships that came together down for 6,000 years until you came to pass. He had to have known that. How did we get Naomi? I mean, for me to meet Beth up in Maine, our courses were so crazy, but God brought us together through an amazing chain of events, which any length in those chains made different, we wouldn't have gotten get together, and there would be no Naomi. But God knew Naomi's name before the foundation of the world. So God is working as a director, is what I'm saying. He writes the script. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't have a free choice as we go through, and God works with our free choices, doesn't He? And I was trying to figure this out one time. How does God direct everything, and yet at the same time, I'm making all my free choices, and God works with my free choices as I'm going through my life? Well, sometimes God leads you into a choice, but let's look at this. I thought of it one day with ants. You ever looked at ants on the ground? I took this little ant I saw one time out on the parking lot, and I put 2 twigs way over away from him on the ground as the goal. I said, I'm going to see if I can make that ant go through those twigs without touching him. And the ant was walking along, making all his little free choices. And I stuck a little boulder right here, a little rock. And I stuck my hand over here, and he came and inspected my hand. And he's like, I don't know what that is. So he went the other direction. And I kept setting little roadblocks up. He made all his little free choices, living his life down through the way. But I was just opening and closing doors for him down the way, and I got him to walk right through those twigs, easy as pie. You think God does that same kind of thing with us? You know, we're making free choices. He works with our free choices, but He's opening doors. He's closing doors. And we know this scripture is true. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it's the purpose of the Lord that will be established. And a man's mind plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. So do you guys have any more confidence now toward next year? God created the world, the time. He knows its details. He is writing the script. Nothing's going to take Him by surprise. And next, God is directing it toward your ultimate benefit and good. For listen to this scripture. Jeremiah 29 verse 11 says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Do you guys believe that today, that God's giving you a future? God's got a hope for you. He's got good things in mind. You know, it's not what you know in life, but who you know, right? I've told you this story before, but I love it so much I'm going to tell it again. When I was in Cub Scouts, Den 2, Pack 70 in Connecticut, all the other Cub Scout dens were baking cupcakes and icing them. You know what we did? My dad happened to be in the Navy, and his friend, when my dad got out and went into business, his friend stayed in the Navy. By the time my dad was leading our little Den 2 Cub Scout pack, His friend was now commander of all Atlantic submarines. Anything that moved in the Atlantic as a submarine, he was number one. So Dad calls up Jack Darby, Commodore, you know, Jack Darby. What can you do for my Den 2 group here? We're looking to do something. Well, I think we can arrange something, Don. And so, what do? We go up to Groton, Connecticut. We go out on a nuclear submarine. We go to sea. We have an F-14 flyby low over the deck at the height of the conning tower. The thing roars past us and shoots straight up into the sky. Then we dive down under the sea and fire out air from the torpedo tubes. Then after this beautiful morning, we come up, go back to the flagship, or shown about around by all the high officers. Do you know what, friends? It's not what you know in life, but who you know. Everybody else was baking cupcakes. We got F-14 flybys and nuclear submarines. And it's, do you know who you know? You know the author of time, the creator of time, the determiner of time, your king. And he's bringing all these good things to pass for you. He planned your life from your birth, in his book written every one of them, the days that were formed for you, when as yet there was none of them, Psalm 139. He determined when you were to be saved. As Paul said, he who has set me apart before I was born, when he had called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his son for me, in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, etc. So God had a day to bring you to salvation, Jesus Christ. He goes before you now to prepare the way, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Has God already gone into 2018? He's already over there waiting, saying, here I am, my children. Come on out here. I got all these things already prepared for you to walk into. Even if you meet dangers, no temptation has overtaken them. Taking you that's not common to man, it says in 1 Corinthians 10. God's faithful. He's not going to let you be tempted beyond your strength. But with the temptation, will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. Are you going to meet temptations this year? Say yes or no. I want to see if you're awake. Yes, you will. The tempter is going to be after you. But God won't let him tempt you too strong. God will provide the way of escape for you, that you can endure it. Even if you meet trouble this year, calamities, sufferings, hardships. We know God's will is this, that you can rejoice in your sufferings, for suffering is going to produce in you endurance. This is Romans 5. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope, and hope won't disappoint you because God has poured his love into your hearts through the Holy Spirit which has been given to us. Isn't this fantastic? What a director behind the scenes. And your actors act out this great adventure. For just like the days of old, so now God leads us through the great and terrible wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water. But he brought water out of the flinty rock. He fed them in the wilderness with manna which their fathers didn't know, that he might humble them and test them. Watch this. To do them good in the end. Is God got good in the end plan for you? He certainly does in 2018. Therefore, you can be confident. And what is that good that we can expect from God? Romans 8, verse 29. Those whom he foreknew, God also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. What's God after this year with you, based on that verse? He's going to make you look more like Jesus. By the end of this next year, he's the champion, he's the hero, and you're going to look more like him. What a beautiful year. And I'm so thankful that I don't know the future. Because otherwise it would be kind of boring, wouldn't it? I mean, if you knew it all ahead of time, but you get the script as you're speaking it, the Holy Spirit goes moment by moment with you and unfolds his word, his life, the adventure, the good deeds he's prepared for you to walk in, all these things, and you get to live it. Don't go into this year, therefore, with fear or with doubt. God's already got it in his hands. You have great parts to play. And it's an adventure, and it is wonderful. It all gives the glory to Jesus Christ. He's going to be the hero of this great movie, this great story, this great adventure of the ages, and he triumphs in the end. For as it says in 2 Corinthians 2, God, through Christ, always leads us in triumph, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere. Jesus has already died for you, risen for you, redeemed you, set you free, forgiven you, goes before you, behind you, He's your rear guard, He's with you. Enjoy this next year walking closer with Him in the great adventure that God has for you in Christ with a confident spirit, because Christ is with you. So we'll conclude with this, Psalm 118, verse 6. With the Lord on my side, I do not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side to help me. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. The Lord is my strength and my song, and He has become my salvation. In Jesus' name.